Welcome to PR After Hours, your weekly cocktail of news and interviews with leading thinkers in PR, marketing, and business. So pull up a chair in our virtual lounge. Your host, Alex Greenwood, will be right back after this.
Oh, it's that time again when our dear friend, Tom Mulligan, Managing Director of Sandler by Kaufman, he's a veteran sales training expert, nationally known. You may have heard him last time when he talked about DISC assessments. If you haven't, go listen, because Tom explains that really well. And we'll have links in the show notes if you want to contact Tom and ask him questions about that. And speaking of questions, I wanted to ask Tom today a little bit about questioning techniques successful salespeople use. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
So, that's a question for you. On the art of sales, can you share your thoughts on the importance of questioning techniques?
Well, let's do, but can I ask you a couple of questions first?
Sure.
So, why would you think that being able to question a prospect is important?
Well, you're never really going to understand what their pain points are, what they're going to need if you don't ask questions. You're just never going to know.
What do you think will happen?
When you ask a question,
yeah,
people, in my experience, they'll hedge quite a bit, or they'll talk around it, and it takes time.
Yeah,
for me,
what would happen if you didn't ask questions?
I think it would generally leave people cold, because it would indicate, they would infer a lack of interest and a lack of understanding of what their pain points are. That's my
thought. Has anybody ever tried to sell you something and that's what it sounded like?
Well, I am on LinkedIn, so yes.
Yeah, do you get a lot of stuff on LinkedIn?
What's that?
Do you get a lot of stuff, a lot of inquiries?
I get DM'd two or three times a day for people trying to cold call me through the DMs on LinkedIn. Yep.
How do you react to that?
Generally, it ticks me off, because it's so evident they have not even looked at my profile. They just found a keyword and they copy and paste the same thing over and over. And I usually, if it's somebody who wants to connect and they look promising, and then the first thing they do is do that crap, I usually disconnect from them. It pisses me off.
How many questions did I just ask you?
Oh my gosh, what was that? 4, 5? You're so good.
So who did all the talking?
You did.
Now, if you're selling to someone, do you want them looking at you going, yeah, 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 yeah? Have you ever had a sales call like that where someone called on you and all they did was talk?
Yes.
There was a guy who was trying to sell me podcasts. Okay. Wasn't you. Made an appointment to talk to me. Okay. It was, the appointment was for 45 minutes by Zoom. I said the following words: good morning, and we'll let you know.
Oh, the kiss of
death. One at the beginning, one at the end.
Jeez.
Now, here's the thing that happens with salespeople. We work for good companies. We're proud of our companies. We're honest people. And the people think, oh, salespeople are dishonest. No, they're not. They're honest people. They're transparent people. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we're proud of what we do. And we're proud of our product and service. We're into it. It's cool. We want to talk about it from a prideful place. Great. Wonderful motivation. Deadly in sales. Deadly. Okay. Mostly because when we're working with someone, we really need to find out if it makes sense for us to talk to them. We think about qualifying ourselves to sell to someone.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using proper questioning strategy, what you're doing is attempting to disqualify them.
Yeah.
Okay. Because if you sell something to somebody who doesn't need it, doesn't use it, right, spent too much for it, but you pounded it to them, your reputation takes a hit, as does the reputation of all the rest of us people who sell for a living.
Yeah.
So if you're doing that, could you knock it off, please? We need to ask questions for a couple of reasons. One of the things is, and we need to really find out what the situation is with the people that we're selling to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If we just assume that they want what we have, it can sound like this. Okay. What do you drive? Can I ask you? I don't think I've seen your car recently. What are you driving now?
A 2014 Ford Escape.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Comfortable.
But here's the thing. I think you should have a Subaru.
Okay.
Where's this going?
Pretty close to nowhere. Yeah.
It's going nowhere.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of reasons why we want to begin to ask questions of people. First of all, we need to find out their truth. Since there is a resistance between prospects and salespeople, prospects resist salespeople because they think it's going to be, you know, a mild confrontation. I'm just going to stay here as long as it takes for you to say yes, right? And so they resist that. And in that resistance, there are certain behaviors that a prospect or a potential customer will do, okay? It is not true that buyers are liars. I've heard this so many times. Oh, they were lying to me. They're not really. They're withholding from you.
Interesting.
They're not telling you stuff. And they won't tell you stuff until they feel comfortable with you. And they won't feel comfortable with you until they start talking to you. And they won't start talking to you until you ask some questions.
And let them speak. That's part of the building rapport section, is it not?
Absolutely.
And so you're saying what I'm hearing is that a lot of these salespeople just blow in. They don't want to build rapport. They just want to start the commercial now.
Now, it's your lucky day. I'm here. Right. And then they're mystified. And the reason is because they are proud of what they have. They know it has value. They know it's great.
Yeah.
How come you don't see that?
How come you don't see that? I was literally
and they
thinking
get mad
that
sometimes at their customer. What's wrong with you? You know? So let's talk about the kinds of things that we can do in questioning.
Okay.
Now, and before we get there, I want to do something real quickly that this is very important. If you're going to be in a call and you're going to ask questions of someone, it is so vital to write it down that I can't tell you, but not just so you have it straight. Everybody thinks, well, I'm writing stuff down so I remember everything. Perfectly. Yeah, that's important. Very important. But it goes way beyond the importance. Okay. Even if you're selling something to somebody by telephone and they can't see you, tell them you're writing it down. There are four main reasons. Reason number one is you get it accurate.
Yep.
Salespeople tend to call on more than one person a year.
Yeah.
So they need to keep that information that they garnered from that specific customer, right?
Right.
In one place so they can work with that customer, not take that information and apply it to another customer.
Right. Right.
So it's got to be accurate. Another thing that has to happen is many people have sales processes that take more than one call, right? You have one call and then you're going to come back for another call and then the third one, maybe, you know, might be a demonstration, could be scope of work plan, could be any number of things, but it's not a one call close. All right. Many people have sales processes like this. Well, unfortunately, I have to reveal to you that in between those sales calls, your customer's not missing you. Right. They're not thinking about it.
Yeah.
Right. They say, I'll think about it. They may probably may know. So when you start the second call, you have to go back and bring them back to the end of that call because it's faded. So you come back and you continue the process by saying, okay, here's where we were. Now, what's changed? Okay. Now, that's one reason.
Right.
The second reason is this. If I'm writing down what you're saying, what am I telling you?
That you're not just listening, you're hearing, You're taking it seriously. You're buying in. Yeah.
Right. You're not writing down what I'm saying. I'm writing down what you're saying. So what you're saying is more important to me than what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that visual is very important. So it kind of shows respect. So the first one's accuracy. The second one's respect.
I like
that. Now there are two more, and they're a little bit harder to see. Funny thing happens. When you're writing things down, the customer tells you more. And they tell you the truth because you're writing it down.
Right.
So they'll tend to tell you more. And as the process moves along, this is great. As the process moves along and you're writing it down, you know, things like, how do you spell that? And they start helping you. So when they're helping you, you're bonding with them beautifully right now on their needs.
Right.
Bonding with them on what they want, not what you want. Okay. Now there's a fourth reason. How long have you been selling, Alex?
Oh, gosh. Well, let's just say 15 years because that's when I had my own business, but I had to sell in other capacities. Let's just say 15 years of concentrated selling.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
When you close something,
you
get that adrenaline kick.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Yeah. It's so great.
It's the problem. It's crack.
It is.
Yeah. You got to have it. We want it. So as we begin to move through a sales call and we see that this is going where we want it to go, we begin to reach for it. So our speed picks up.
Yeah.
Our thoroughness drops off. Okay. and our call starts to shudder. If you write things down, you keep your pace. So, 4, accurate, respectful, honesty, pace. Write stuff down. Now, what questions do you want to ask? The kinds of questions we want to ask in a sales call is not all about the happy stuff. Okay? Why do you want to buy this? What am I fixing?
Right.
What is a frustration you have I'm curing? Are far more important than do you like it in designer colors? But salespeople, what happens is they're in a hurry. A lot of us are in a hurry.
Right.
I'm in a hurry. And we are moving faster than a customer wants to move.
Yeah.
So we start talking too early. Now, one of the things that I've done is we'll do like call reviews or record telephone calls. And then we'll sit down with them. Hey, how'd it go? You know, and we just kind of work through how it went. There's a lot of, you know, you got a lot of AI associated stuff with this going on now, things like Gong and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But inevitably what I will do without them knowing at first, although if someone watching this starts working with me, now you know, is I'll start counting the number of times they ask a question of the customer. And at the end, we'll talk about it and I'll say, so how many questions did you ask them? And they'll go, oh, I had to be 12. Yeah, it was 3. because we start moving at a faster pace because we're trying to go somewhere with the call.
Right.
When in fact, if we ask questions, the customer takes you where you want them to go anyway.
100%.
100%. If you're asking the questions, you're driving the conversation because it's going where you're asking.
Right.
I asked you at the beginning of this conversation some questions about how you felt about LinkedIn. It didn't take very long for me to get a whole lot of information about the frustration you have with people who reach out to you on LinkedIn for reasons you are not interested in. Now, if I had a software program, I could sell you that blocked those and let the rest of your LinkedIn alone.
Ooh. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
I'd buy that.
What we're doing then is we're really looking for the reasons why they qualify to buy from us.
Well, yeah, and in my line of work as a consultant, a PR consultant, let's bring it back to a lot of our listeners, our PR and marketing people, is, guys, if we're not asking questions, we have no idea if we can really help these people. Mm-hmm. If you just kind of go in and go, well, we have this whole list of services. So, yeah, we got that. But you know what? I early on learned, don't just assume you can do everything. Because when I was early, I was so hungry to make money and pay the bills. Right. I forgot one thing, which was like, if you promise that you can do everything, you probably can, but you could do all of those everythings not very well. And it took me years. And Tom's one of the people who pushed me this direction in a nice way over the years. He's like, Alex, focus on those things you're really good at. Do that. And trust me, the world will be the path to your door. And he was basically right.
Yeah. Well, that's that one time I was right these last 10 years. So the questioning strategies we can use, there's several of them. And I'm not going to go into all of the different techniques that there are here, but happy to discuss this with people if they want to. The idea behind the questioning is to take a sales call from I'm on this side of the desk and you're on that side of the desk, to a cooperation, a cooperation of problem solving for that customer. Okay. And in problem solving for that customer, you can't fix what you don't know.
Cool.
You can't. So it's so important to take the time now to, you know, I don't want to belabor this, but let's talk about preparing. Remember we said preparing for a call?
Mm-hmm.
If you're preparing to do cost justification,
mm-hmm.
you are preparing for an argument.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So I think they're going to think this is too expensive, which inevitably means that you are selling something you think is too expensive.
Yeah.
And they will. And as you start thinking that and showing that behavior, they're going to look at you and go, yeah, you think this is too expensive, don't you?
Oh, geez.
So what we do want to prepare then are, what are the questions we're going to want to ask them? What do we want to ask? Not what do we want to say? In preparing these questions, okay, it's important to have these questions be, you know, appropriate to your industry, appropriate to your customer, appropriate to your outcome.
Right.
But you should probably be in a position after you've been working for a while to know what some of these questions are. The problem with salespeople is they've heard the answer to these questions so many times from so many people that they don't hear the customer say it when you ask it. Right. And the customer can tell. They can tell you're not listening to them.
Right.
They can absolutely tell that you're not listening to them. A couple of things to be careful of. When you're asking questions, don't interrupt people. Don't. Because what'll happen is you're cutting them off from sharing with you. Let them run.
Yeah.
Let them tell you. Okay. The real bad one, though, number two, is please, please do not finish other people's sentences for them. You are screaming, "I'm not listening." I would say that the three most important words in selling are, "I heard you."
Mm-hmm.
I heard you.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important. And what we really need to recognize is the fundamental behind sales, closing.
Yeah.
When we're trying to close a sale, we don't want to be in a position where we have to convince them to do that. But here's what happens. People don't buy from you when they understand your product. People buy from you when you understand their need.
Right.
And if you can't understand their need by walking into their door and go, "Ah, got it. I know exactly what's wrong here."
Right.
So the most important part about questioning strategies is to continue to do it and to be thorough in these conversations. Now,
right.
You don't want to say is, are, okay? Questions that end with yes or no, and particularly early in a conversation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those can be very damaging because you're setting up, you know, a pace of yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, 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 no.
Right.
You want to ask who, what, when, where, how, why. So that people have to answer and think. As these questioning strategies happen over time, a wonderful thing starts happening. Reasons why they don't want to buy what you have, they handle for you while you watch.
Yeah. Well, can I ask you just a quick question on that? What about if you're doing this, you're listening, and you get to the point, and I know at this stage in your career as a salesperson, I think you'll know this fairly quickly, but is there a point when you're asking the questions and then you realize, oh my gosh, they really aren't a good fit for my product or service?
Yes.
And then what do?
You tell them that. What you do is you take no for an answer. We've discussed this.
We did. You're right.
We take no for an answer. And it may sound something like, "Alex, thanks for taking the time here. You know, it doesn't sound to me like this is really that big of a concern for you. And now it doesn't seem to be the right time for us to have this conversation. Do you agree? I mean, it's okay. Tell me."
Yeah. I had a ghostwriting client or potential client who was very, I could just tell, was very enthusiastic and liked the idea of somebody helping her write a book. And she was going to do this, she's going to do that. She was so excited. And she was like, "Let's get started today." We had a phone call. I'm like, "No, let's not. Let's meet in person." And when I met her in person in 10 minutes, I was like, "This is not a serious person." And she was like, "Let's do it today. Let's start today." And then I said, "I want you to think about it. And I'll call you in 48 hours and let's see how you feel." So then she ghosted me for about a week. And then, then she emails me back finally and says, "I think maybe we should do this other thing." And I was like, "I think maybe you really need to think about this more before we proceed." And I've never heard from her again.
Yeah. Well, let's say you had sold it to her.
Must we?
Right. So exactly. I want you to think about many companies have customers that wish they didn't. I assure you that there are passengers aboard a Southwest Airlines flight over our head right now. Oh, and Southwest is praying we'll choose Delta next time. Right? So if we're selling stuff to people who don't need it,
yeah,
your life gets tough. Your life gets hard, right?
It does. It's,
so helping people to tell you no does another wonderful thing. So I could say to you, you know, that this doesn't sound like, you know, the reasons we've talked about this don't sound important to you. It sounds like now's not the right time to do this.
Mm-hmm.
This can go in a couple of ways. One, you're right, we're done, bye. Good, get out. Some do, some don't. So what? Who's next?
Right.
They don't waste time. Another thing might happen is this. you know, now isn't the right time to do this. Well, calendar this. When do you think it would be? Right? Or another thing may happen. Well, actually, we haven't gotten to the main reasons why I did want to talk to you. And they take the conversation in a direction that may qualify them to be your customer.
Interesting. Okay.
And taking the pressure out of the call by saying, you know, this, you don't sound like you're very interested in this, just gets people to, oh yeah, well, let me tell you what I really think.
Mm-hmm. Please yeah. Do. Yeah. It's amazing that you'll go through such a long period of time when you finally get to that point, but that's part of the cycle.
Well, this is what we do for a living.
Yeah.
A Sandler rule, a sales rep, shows their value by the amount of information they collect, not by the amount of information they distribute.
Nice.
That's just the way it is. It's words to that effect. I'm sure Dr. Sandler would not be happy to hear me not do that perfectly. Words to that effect. So if I can leave any parting information,
please.
You probably are not asking enough questions.
Yeah.
And well, your customer wants you to. Now, if we get into a position in a sales call, this is for another time, but if we get in a position for a sales call and we're asking a lot of questions, right, and the customer is not that forthcoming and wants to ask you a lot of questions, what are you going to do about that? Is a process called reversing. Reversing is you ask me a question and I answer it with a question. Okay.
Oh, man.
So you might say, well, how long is this going to take? Well, that's a good question. What are you expecting? How long do you need it to take? That goes somewhere.
It does.
Let's say you answer it. Well, 4 weeks. Well, that's not going to work. And it's over.
Right.
Because you answered it. What's a question very often that a customer will ask a salesperson? How much?
Yeah.
And they tend to ask it too early.
Way too early. Yeah.
And when doing that, you give the number and it's over.
It's over. Yep.
Because you already have told them what you sell and how much you want. Therefore, they have no reason to talk to you again.
Yeah.
So you say, we'll call you, and you might feel great about it. And they will call you 2 weeks after never.
Yeah. That's why I always got to a point where I said, let me get you just a quick proposal for you to look at. And after all this, if they're talking about price and they're hung up on price, if I can't in the conversation sell them on they need the service 100% because they're still worried about price, I feel like probably 6 or 7 times out of 10, the proposal stage seemed to help me get them because I laid it all out for them, bullet pointed it, made it really simple, you know, and I gave them a range usually. But anyway, that's for another day.
Another conversation.
Tom Mulligan, unquestionably a great episode here talking about questions that questioning techniques that salespeople do and should use. If you have questions for Tom, of course he'll be back. But in the meantime, I'm going to put links in the show notes. You got to get a hold of him. He can talk to you about so many things. And if you have a sales force that maybe they're a little green, or even the other side of the coin, maybe your sales force is a little, let's not say calcified, but maybe they're a little seasoned and they could use a boost. Going to Sandler is such a great idea. Kaufman Group is so wonderful. Tom, thanks again for joining us here.
Happy to do it, Alex.
You know what that means. It's last call here at the Virtual Lounge. Be sure to visit PRAfterHours.com for links to what we discussed in this episode and more. Be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And join us next time for another round at PR After Hours with Alex Greenwood.